Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Jump pass, right corner, Vooch for three. Bam, at the buzzer! Onions, baby onions! The Vooch for three! Left corner, Lonzo, open three. Bam! This baby is over! 131, 117 Bulls, 65 seconds left.
I love Jason Goff. He's the best.
It's Bernstein and Rahimi, middays, 9 a.m. to noon on Chicago's Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Jason Goff is pushing Anthony Herron for the most jobs anywhere, and he's doing this for free, I think, hanging out today at Jason1Goff on Twitter. He's here, NBC Sports Chicago, pregame, halftime, postgame, the full go podcast. How many job you got, man?
Only two right now.
Yeah, well.
You're the only one with one job these days, man. Dan.
Well, you know why, though. I mean, when you're that pretty, you ain't got to work. You
know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Just turn on the microphone and let God do the rest. How y'all doing?
Better now.
Yeah. I'll tell
Good
you this.
To see you.
Good to be seen.
You had, like, this Bulls team. We were talking about it last night. This has brought families together. This team is bringing old friends together.
Yeah.
There's something infectious about this team where, like, my best childhood friends who haven't watched a Bulls game in forever are watching every minute of every game and are now self-purported Bulls experts, and they've every trade worked out.
Oh, yeah.
And I've realized what it is. The Bulls are funky. It's like they're never quite matched up right personnel-wise ever. Right. Their half-court offense kind of sucks, and they win.
They figure it out.
They figure it out, and they're so much damn fun, and they're so much fun to talk about, and they're fun to watch you guys talk about.
No, yeah. It's funny that you mentioned the trades. My buddy Chip, who's part of a group chat for me and like 8, 9 of my best friends, it seems like every 2, 3 days, Chip, the other day he was like, you know, somebody told me Bismack Biyombo might be available. And I'm like, yo, like, what are we doing? Like, 2 years ago, nobody was having these conversations. But a basketball team, I think, that's decent, especially for a city like this, is different than baseball. It's different from football, obviously, with the frequency. But basketball, you know what time is happening. Sometime right around the time you're getting home. Sometime right around the time you're getting ready to eat. Baseball, some day games you miss. Some games you can't go to. Some games you can't sit down to watch. But when a team is good on a nightly basis, and even more so intriguing. Like, I think the intrigue and the fascination about this team far outweigh their accomplishment so far.
Totally.
Yeah, for 2 years, you had to sit around and watch kids try to learn how to be adults in the NBA. And then you had one guy who was like, I'm not a kid anymore, even though people around the league are treating me like that,
and
still in Zach LaVine.
Coach with clown shoes.
Well,
I mean, come
shout
on.
Out to JB. And man,
hey, took a timeout last night.
That's
hey,
nine.
You already know
like
it.
What?
Down 9.
What
11
was
seconds
that?
Left, right?
Because it's time. Because it's time for us to talk. Wait a minute.
Where's Adam Makoka?
Yeah, right. He's just looking for somebody, right? All right. Jakar, get in the game.
Luke Kornet is on Team USA.
Hey, listen, that man has a lot of friends around the NBA for a reason. He is a fine assistant coach, a fine defensive coordinator. But
I find nothing. He's a MAGA idiot, too.
Hey, that... Have I ever told you the story of the first year when he invited us into his office?
Oh, no.
You didn't even tell me this story, and I worked with you that year.
Yeah, JV. oh, my God. So, oh, Lord. So, me, Kendall, and Will, this is before COVID, and we're all going to the stadium for the games. And me, Kendall, and Will walking down the tunnel, and then and Jim Boylan invited us into the office so we could talk a little basketball.
Talk some hoops. Get that grease board out.
Yeah, legit.
You sure?
Legit. And all I remember is us walking out and me thinking, oh, okay. And that was different. And Kendall and Will walking out and not saying a word. And I was like, okay, all right. I guess that one's supposed to happen that way. You know, I'm used to like running up on coaches after they've, you know, maybe had a couple of beers in them and you're sitting down talking little hoops. But, you know, shout out to Jim Boylan, because if you didn't walk through the Jim Boylan era, you couldn't run through the Billy Donovan era, apparently. But yeah, the team is fun. The team is fun. You got Zach, you got DeMar, and there's like a grown-up vibe to the team, even though the kids are still trying to figure it out. You know, what Kobe coming back from injury, Pat being hurt now. There's a we're not effing around anymore. We're not effing around crew, right? So now that the East is all jumbled up and the top of the East is like, we don't have to really win games because we could beat you in certain matchups, whether it be Milwaukee or Brooklyn. The Bulls are trying to win every game they possibly can just so they can get that home court advantage, just so you can start to try to have that winning thing, because Caruso and DeRozan have it and they move like it already. They've been through some playoff wars, one as a champion. The rest of these guys are looking at some of these moments. It's kind of like when Tiger would be working on stuff before a major, right? I think Billy Donovan knows what's ahead. I think DeMar DeRozan knows what's ahead. I think Alex Caruso knows what's ahead, but you can't really tell guys. You gotta show it to them. So the next play stuff. If you listen close enough, Billy Donovan tells you everything you need to know about how he feels about the team and how the team feels about itself. This next play stuff that he's been on lately, Bulls got very comfortable talking to officials. And you only do that when you think you're good, because you think they're going to listen. Nobody's listening to you right now because you're still the Bulls. The brand on the can still says the Chicago Bulls.
Did you see what Tony Brothers was saying to some of the guys last night?
Calm down.
Yeah, it was
keep it like, moving, bro. Yeah. Like, you ain't got enough skins on the wall to talk to me crazy.
Well, at least there are no technicals handed out.
True.
There. I mean, so we're on the upswing here.
True.
But it's funny because, Dan, you even mentioned the half court stuff, and you guys talked about last night, you and Kendall, on the postgame show. By the way, shout out to Kendall when you were talking about Zach LaVine playing sick, not contagious sick, just sick.
Yes.
And then Kendall, it's all about the max, and Kendall goes, cash rules everything around me. And I'm like, this is why I love this show.
It's real.
This is why I love this postgame show.
Real.
But let's go back to a piece of this, which you guys touched on too. We saw an improvement out of half court sets last night.
Yeah.
We saw ball movement. Yeah. You talk about working on something, and we saw that with this Bulls team last night. That was a good team that they match up well against to try to work on some of those things.
Yeah, I mean, every team's trying to get them to stay small, because once they stay small, they're not big, right? Like, people talk about small ball. It's a difference between having Andre Iguodala and Draymond Green at 240 pounds and 230 pounds battling against people, and P.J. Tucker playing small ball five with 240 pounds of heft, and then Derrick Jones Jr. Being 210 and Javonte Green being pretty much a shooting guard guarding four. So
That's the line.
210, I'm 250.
And they're getting moved around. So if they could stay big like they did last night, with Vooch on the floor for as long as he possibly could, he scored 30. And it's a big difference between playing the Heat and playing this Hornets team, which is a bunch of kids having fun, right? Their record is good, but there's moments where they are five strangers playing in the same uniform. So it's good to get back on track and move the ball against a team like that. Now you get a chance to go up against the Knicks, who are going to scout the hell out of you and know what you do. The Bulls, when a team can employ the zone and be effective against the Bulls, that's when you know there's still room to grow, because no team should be able to stay in the zone as long as they have been in this last week or so against the Bulls.
I was talking to Rick before the show, a longtime basketball buddy of mine I was talking to last night about zone offense and the way zone offense has changed because of how the NBA understands. Where it used to be, you see a 2-3, like, okay, we got the elbows, we got the blocks, and we can go back. And that used to be when you cared about getting a two-point shot.
Right.
And now what happens is, where previously that corner,
corner
would cut baseline, make that catch, you get a lay-in, you get a foul, whatever, you get an open 8-footer. You don't want the open 8-footer anymore. Mm-hmm. So now it's, how can you make that cut
allow the wing to get down to the corner to replace him so Lonzo Ball can get what is essentially a layup for him that's worth 3 points.
And all these zones are used to being screened now too. So as you saw against Eric Spoelstra, they went from a 2-3 to a 3-2 because obviously you go high post. Alex Caruso is playing a high post passer, and the next thing you know, you're firing it out for threes. All right, I'm going to play a 3-2 against you. Knicks played a box and one in that first Knicks game, and every team since then has been like, okay, when we're down or when we're up and we're trying to lengthen the lead, which hasn't happened a lot against the Bulls this year, we can just go zone.
That's what we do.
And they have to be able to either shoot over it or rebound over it. And
good luck with the latter.
And that's the problem. They're not a really good rebounding team. So if I can't force you out of the zone because I'm getting putbacks and things of that nature, then, you know – They're too good at making tough shots, so they have a steady diet of it. And there's also, I think, sometimes a reliance on we could beat this team. Like, they know they can beat certain teams, so they trade jabs when it's like, hey man, get this over in the first, second round. Like they have a couple of times in this last 2 weeks with this Charlotte game. This thing was over pretty much halfway through the second quarter.
Yeah, easily.
That Rockets thing will haunt you though.
Yeah, they won three in a row though. Jalen Green and the boys, you know, I was talking to Kendall about it last night. He's like, maybe they ain't that bad. I was like, yeah, they're bad, brother.
That was the most surprising thing. While I was off, I was like, wait, what happened?
That's the roll the ball out game and not knowing who you're playing against. Kevin Porter Jr. is a jerk. Like, I won't even call him a jerk, but he's had his issues around the league so far for a young player. He could play. Like, that's the kind of dude who, like, the old NBA where it's like, if he was different in terms of mental makeup, everybody would know his name because of how talented he is. You go out there and he plays halfway and he gets damn near a triple-double. Next thing you know, you got Daniel House doing what he's supposed to be doing. Like, the NBA has a bunch of guys who can play. They're not all on the right teams. They're not all playing with the right dudes, but every once in a night.
Look at AD.
Yeah.
AD could have 30 and 20 every night, and he doesn't apparently want to.
Well, you know. Anytime I see guys, and I love Anthony Davis, but anytime I see guys constantly say they don't want to be the biggest guy on the floor when you are the biggest guy, like he's one of those guys who didn't want to play with a center. Right. I mean, needed to play with a center. Like Al Horford was that kind of guy as well, too, where it's like I'm a 6'10 power forward, but you're making me play center. It's like, no, be the biggest person on the floor. You know, I mean, he's a jump shooter. Right? He's a jump shooter in a center or power forward's body. But there's too much talent for you to mess around. There's too much shooting talent. I mean, Jonas Valanciunas hit 7 threes last night. Right? There's too many people who can shoot over your zone or shoot you out of the game.
Washington and Terry Rozier. Yeah. If
you can't shoot, you can't play anymore. So joshing around with these teams and messing around like they can't go on a 10-0, 9-0 run on you really quickly, and all of a sudden you're looking around because the Bulls still trying to figure out their rotations too.
Yes.
So Billy Donovan is juggling that. He's juggling the expectations. Billy told everybody immediately this. Y'all are thinking that this is going to be 120 points a night. We're going to give up 119, 118. He told everybody the offense is going to be the issue. I can coach somebody to play some defense, and they've got two of the best backcourt defenders in the game. But the offense, because – the Zach DeMar fit was what everybody was worried about, and I've been saying it since the season started. DeMar DeRozan and Vooch get their offense in the same place. So you got to stagger those two guys. Vooch has to go down to the block a lot more probably than he would even want to because he likes to be everywhere on the court. It's not a knock. It's just he understands what he works on, and you want to implement that in game. Zach and DeMar are fine. Right, there's been a couple of hiccups where it's like, all right, you take it. No, I'm going to take
the
it.
The last shot.
Yeah, the last shot, there's been hiccups. But
DeMar's shoes suck.
No, don't do that.
I don't know.
Which ones? He's got Kobe.
He's got the
limited edition Kobe. Yeah,
there have been too many times late in games where he and Zach have figured it out and then he slipped.
I got you.
How many times has his shoes...
He has slipped a bit.
The traction on his shoes is an issue and people get mad at me for pointing it out.
He's so funny.
Keeps slipping.
I didn't know that you were doing this. So Kendall especially over the last week has been like, hey man, that man lead the amount of trips to the floor. I was like, what you mean? He's like, that man fall at least 8-9 times a game, dog. And I'm like, you know, and then I started looking at it a little bit more over the last couple of games. It's so funny that you mentioned that.
On the road trip. Yeah. Like, the road trip, it was super glaring.
Hey, jump stops and slippage and, ooh, I'm out of bounds and I didn't mean to be. And that's two instead of three.
It's everywhere on the floor. Yeah.
Kendall took notice of it a little while ago. Good. And ever since, you know, we've been trying to figure out the it's going to be the new points bet is the over-under on the amount DeMar of times DeMar slips. DeRozan hits the floor. But you know he's
FanDuel.
Oh, there you go. Shout out to the sponsors. Shout out to everybody getting paid in this holiday season.
This is a little off the beaten path, but
that's fine. That's what I came here for.
But I'd like to talk to you about like being the son of Chicago, loving basketball the way you do. Like the moment I think at the United Center. Where we saw Io and Derrick Rose on the floor at the same time. Yeah. And just the buzz and the chill. Mm-hmm. And then seeing Io guard D. Rose. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, they have another matchup with the Knicks. When the Knicks are good and the Bulls are good. Yeah. And you're seeing those two in particular.
It's outstanding.
Yeah. How did you feel when you saw that? So, tell me, because I haven't been here long enough. I just get to hear about the appreciation from you all. And that's how I appreciate it more.
So as a kid, I had my set of friends. But my real friends were everybody that was on Sports Channel. Right, like I went home and I was hanging out with old white men and Jordan and the boys. That's all I was doing. Right, got my homework done. Next thing you know, it was Jim Durham and the boys.
And you and Julie Juddleson.
Yeah. Shout out to Julie Juddleson.
This is what I'm here for.
Then it was Tom Doerr and Johnny Redkerr. Yeah. And then it became Stacy. Like, this is what I grew up loving and watching. We had a little kitchen TV, so if I missed any action from the walk from the basement upstairs to the kitchen, I could catch it right there. My mom hated John Starks, probably hates him to this day, right? Greg Anthony was always a dude who I was like, you might be cool, but that UNLV run ain't gonna fool me. I know about you, fam. And then he fighting people, JoJo English and Derek Harper. So, and Chris Herring's book details a lot of those skirmishes, right? So we grew up on it, and we grew up on some brutal basketball kids like Burns's kids age, like Jason out there. You know what I mean? Like, those are the kids who are like, I've been waiting on all this foolishness that y'all been talking about in terms of enjoying this and the glory years. Like, there's only so many times those kids can watch Last Dance. Like, for me as a kid, watching, you know, 80s basketball with my dad, knowing that Bird and Magic were the dudes, but right. Like, okay, I got a guy coming in Michael Jordan. These kids, this newer generation of Bulls fan hasn't had that guy, and they did have him for a couple of years in Derrick Rose, so there's still that it's incomplete. So the fact that this is happening now and the Knicks are kind of good right now, the Pacers are kind of good, you could tell those silly
and
stories.
A bad
that you
matchup for the Bulls.
Yeah. Yes. No. But you know why? Because they're more disciplined and stronger than everybody out there. Right, like Malcolm Brogdon isn't going to make a whole bunch of mistakes, and Domantas Sabonis, his head alone is intimidating. Like his daddy's head was big, but Domantas is out here with the Barry Bonds. Like,
yeah,
like there is not a lot. There's no bigger dome in all of sports than Domantas Sabonis's. Not one. I dare you.
I think Arvidas's head is bigger because he's so much bigger.
Nah, man.
He's 7'3", 360.
I understand. You got to check out the nugget on Domantas Sabonis. Okay. I'm telling you. Boban ain't got nothing on him. Like,
whoa.
Nothing. Nothing. Domantas headbutts you. Just go ahead and pick the casket out. You know what I mean? It's as simple as that. Now, there's a lot of teams that these younger Bulls fans get a chance to, because remember that era where it was like, hey, come see Allen Iverson play or come see Shaquille O'Neal play, where the Bulls were bad and people actually were going to the arena to go see other teams. Now,
as a Mavericks fan, I was my entire life. Yeah. Until Dirk.
Yeah, until Dirk. Right. So it's fun to have something to be happy about or to be upset about, but not in the I hate this team, I hate these people way. Well, right.
But here's what I love about the broadcast, about your broadcast right
now.
Oh, no. And I mentioned
we talk about
this,
it a lot on this show.
No, and yeah. I mentioned this
we like
to Will.
It.
Oh, this
is what Lord. I, what do you mean?
This is what I said to Will Perdue.
Still trying to figure it
that
out.
That Will has he's really settling into this role of the championship standard curmudgeon.
Mm-hmm.
In a nice way, where you and Kendall can have, hey, look at this, and look at this, and this is fun, and look
Will
at this.
Will and I agree on a lot and, more than Kendall and I do.
Well, Will.
But Will, Kendall and I have a different
I love
energy.
Will. Will's got the rings, man. And,
yeah, he does.
And Will's got the experience and the rings, and Will can say, this is great, but.
Yeah.
If we're really holding the team to a championship standard, this has got to be better. You could say he's taking the fun out of it, whatever he's doing, but it's really important.
It's proper balance.
It's really important for him to keep everybody focused on what matters to NBA players, what matters to NBA coaches, and he's keeping it there in a very nice sort of professorial way.
Yeah, no, we have a good time. And the best part is, like, during the game, when we're talking about the game, it seems like everybody is seeing the same thing,
yes.
right? And then when we talk about it, it comes out in different ways, right? So,
what's an example of that?
Well, mid-range Kendall's living his best life.
Oh, my God.
That's number one.
Old school KG.
Yeah, he knows, like, he's still worth two, though.
Yeah, old school
KG. No, not today.
Old school KG is like, yo, forget all this foolishness. Kendall don't even want to see people out by the three-point arc, period. Like, KG want to take it back to 87 real quick.
He and DeMar, that was his Christmas present.
When DeMar started hitting those jumpers early on in the season, like, no one thought DeMar DeRozan was going to come here and score 27 points a game. It was, you know, get around 2021, be Zach's wingman. DeMar came out here like, listen, guys, I can still play. I know y'all ain't been watching in San Antonio. And Kendall saw those first couple of weeks, and he's like, that's what I'm talking about. Now, it's kind of like, all right, DeMar, pass that thing now. Hold on. You know what I mean? Like you could tell guys are getting comfortable with what they're watching, and the team is ever evolving. So first of all, I think I watch the other guys around the league extensively. And so when they come into, like, for instance, before the game started against Miami, I was like, Gabe Vincent, you don't know a lot about him, but for some reason I was watching this dude in the Olympics in Nigeria. And the next thing you know, he goes out there and busts their ass for, 14, 12 points. Him and Kyle Lowry at one point in the fourth quarter scored all the Heat's points before Jimmy Butler hit two buckets. So, like, I think we
all... You want to bust Kyle Lowry's ass, he'd clean up your days.
Yeah, he's enjoyed himself. I hate his game more so than anybody in the league. But I respect it. If that makes any sense.
Oh, it does.
I hate watching Kyle Lowry play basketball.
Yeah, I feel like hate it, Zach hate sometimes.
Hate it. You and Will, same dude sometimes. Will be like, that's not an all right. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's not a good shot.
If Will were in my, he makes, I said it yesterday, nobody makes more awful shots.
Yeah, in the vein of Kobe, in the vein of all these, because think about who these dudes watched for real.
Yep.
Like, guys watch Mike.
Zach's number.
Exactly. Yeah. Guys watched Mike and was like, man, it'd be really cool if I could do that in our offense, but I can't do that. Guys watched Kobe and was like, I could do that. Like, I could do a turnaround fadeaway three-pointer and it knocked down because they practice it. Like, that's the reason
Jason Tatum.
End of game. He's got some other issues, that Boston thing, boy. They brought Kyrie in, and that whole thing has been sour since. But
critical mass.
They always practice these things, though. Like, these highlights that you see on Instagram and these dudes working out and these shot doctors, they actually practice this stuff. So before, what was thought of as a bad shot, guys are really decent defensively now. They're longer. You're getting defenses extended out to damn near the half court line because of the way guys can shoot. So what happens? The league and basketball has a counterpunch. All right, we're going to have to start doing sidestep threes. We're going to have to start doing turnaround fadeaway three-pointers. Whereas before it was like, oh, look at that cool fadeaway by Bernard King on the baseline. Now it's like, yeah, if you don't have a sidestep three as a guard, then you're going to be a backup guard. If you can't knock down shots to that level and you call yourself a max player, then you're going to be you're going to have some issues. The issue is, they don't always go down. And if you have to take them in a big moment when the defense is focused on you, then you're going to look crazy when it misses. But how many times has anybody been sitting at the crib and been like, oh, that's a bad shot. All right, cool. It went in this time. Yeah, it happens a lot more than you think, right? Yes. Like, Damian Lillard shooting from the logo was like a novelty. Now those stats are kept for everybody in the league.
Well, you talk about starting the offensive half court. That is Atlanta.
Yeah. Well, Trae Young I didn't think the Trae Young thing was going to work. I didn't.
Well, they changed the rules on him.
Yeah, they did. But on top of it, the Steph Curry, whenever you see somebody compared to what you think as one of the greatest of all time, if not the greatest of all time, you're like, all right, cool out, slow down. But I've been born in the school of little guys shouldn't be able to dominate a game in that manner, right? Like shooting the ball as much as he does. And I think because of the shots that we see, you think he is a far more prolific three-point shooter than he is, but his percentages are pretty decent to good. It's just when he shoots them, how he shoots them, and the momentum swings and with which he does it. Like some of these guys are very calculated, and you see it in Zach sometimes too. It's like, okay, we're up three, and this team is getting ready to bow out. I'm gonna knock down this three. We're gonna be up six. They're gonna take a timeout. They're gonna get dog walked in that huddle. They're gonna get screamed at for letting me shoot this three. I'm gonna see it in them coming on the way out. Like that first timeout in the second half thing is what all these guys talk about. That's the game in the second half. Who's gonna force who to call that first timeout? Right? It's push and pull. And these guys know that these shots that they work on in the summer, especially Zach with the fadeaways and the turnarounds from three, like the tough shots that they work on aren't as tough for them because we're the people who are watching it through the lens of that's a tough shot. And for them, it's like, this is the shot I need to shoot right now because of the way they're playing me. So it's fun to watch the evolution of basketball and actually feel like you got a team that's participating in the same league again.
We're infinity late to break, but what did James Harden say to you on your birthday?
So he was Kevin Durant talks to everybody the entire game on the bench, right? He's talking to somebody. I'm laughing at it at the time. I think he told some dude who was talking crazy to him about his shoes. He told him to sit down and drink your cheap ass wine or something, right?
That's not cheap. It's not good.
Kevin Durant, it might be cheap, right? So, you know, James starts to laugh at it, and then he sees me laughing at it, and I had like a margarita or something. And I'm like, oh, I got the cheap stuff over here. So then when James is getting fouled the whole game and they're not calling it because they're like, screw this guy, we're going to make him the 121st best player instead of the fifth best player in the league.
Yes.
He comes and he sits right there on the bench. And Pia's like, oh, what's going on? I'm like, no, he's good. And then he starts to laugh, and I'm like, you're not going to get that in here. And he's like, I'm not getting it anywhere, man. So, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, you're not going to get that in here. They are not calling fouls for one James Harden. That's why he's lost in the abyss right now in Brooklyn. But they'll figure it out.
Oh, I could do this all day. This is just
seriously.
Great.
It's good to see y'all.
I really could.
Same.
It's good to see y'all.
There's so much to talk about, so much going on, because you're sitting in the proverbial catbird seat right now with the way everybody's loving this team.
Yeah, man, we appreciate it because my first year where every game was like, hey, man, what the hell is going on out here? And then the Bulls would be like, hey, is everything okay with the guy that's saying what the hell is going on? Everything out here? Yeah, everything's fine. I'm just not happy about watching bad basketball. And then this year happens. You know, Arturis Karnišovas and Mark Eversley should be commended because when you throw a lot of money at situations, it doesn't work out all the time. And the fact that their fits were doubted, these dudes know basketball, and I appreciate that. And, you know, keep watching because it's going to be fun no matter what, because this team is the roller coaster, I think, is just starting, to be honest with you, because there is no more cute, fun Bulls. Teams actually are aiming and shooting to beat them instead of being snuck up on by. So, it's going to be good. It's going to be good.
Makes it more fun.
Good to see y'all, man.
Be well. Best of
yes.
All right, brother. All right, Layla.
Good to see you, Jay.
That's Jason Goff. And like you say, we're biblically late. We've had terrible biblical losses.
Who cares? We'll make it up like adults.
And the best thing that we're doing right now on Giving Tuesday is we are, as we speak, raising a ton of money for Camp One Step by Children's Oncology Services. score.givesmart.com or text SCORE to 76278. The first $25,000 that we raise will be matched today by the Ellen Marks Cancer Foundation. So please, thank you already for the donations that have come in, and thank you in advance for being a part of this. 5 becomes 10, 10 becomes 20, 100 becomes 200, and everything is going great. It is score.givesmart.com, and the Cubs just got a guy. We'll tell you all about it next on The Score.
We have to do a show for the rest of the show now.
Yeah, but now the Cubs got a guy. They have busted a grape in free agency.
Do we have a DJ air horn? Do we need to do this the right way? Ladies and gentlemen, Wait, are we need to do fake big voice guy? Did the Cubs finally make a signing?
You were making it sound like you're introducing a stripper. So, ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together.
From Pole Assassin. She cursed college football. It's never been the same. Will you?
Next up. On the pole.
Pole Assassin.
Coming out. Say hello to your new backup catcher, Jan Gomes.
Yay. I'm sorry to Jan Gomes. You probably didn't think you would get this introduction. But we got a free agent in the city. There's one that's been signed. Two teams.
Jan Gomes is begging to be anagrammed. Hold on. M-O-N-E.
So anyway, yeah.
Hold on. It took less than 2 minutes for Dan to take the fun out of Jan Gomes.
It anagrams to Nagy's money.
Yeah, if there's one thing to bring fun to Chicago it's thinking about Nagy's money.
Nagy's money, that's your anagram for Jan Gomes, and that is your Jesus. Cubs backup catcher, and okay.
And that was this segment. 1040 is coming up next.
But if you're asking about what he is for his career, his slash line is 247, 299, 421. His weighted runs created plus is 91, so he is 9% worse than average offensively, and he is a very solid, if unspectacular, defensive catcher.
Oh, yeah, that's it. In fact, didn't the Cleveland Indians once sacrifice a frozen chicken in the clubhouse because he had a big Ofer streak going on?
What do you mean sacrificed a frozen chicken?
Well, I mean, you're not going to sacrifice already been a sacrificed. Live chicken. Jan Gomes, sacrifice.
Because it's frozen already. The sacrifice is long
gone. It was
in
2016. The Cleveland Indians sacrificed a chicken, asked Joe Boo to forgive Jan Gomes.
But there you have him. You got 34-year-old Jan Gomes is your, for the moment, your backup catcher for the Cubs. So
I think the chicken was already dead.
That's what I mean. So the sacrifice occurred somewhere back down the road.
And then they struck a giant pinata filled with candy. One player said Gomes had a great swing on the pinata. Yeah, because he had an Ofer streak going back then.
Aww.
Don't ask me why I remembered that, but hey.
Hey, thanks to everybody who has already donated for Giving Tuesday. I've just been told that most recent update, $11,000. We're already at $11,000. We need $25,000 to invoke the full match where 25 is going to turn into 50. We are sending kids with cancer and leukemia to Camp One Step, and it isn't just our 11 free in-person programs. It's our 8 virtual programs that we have. We are expanding camperships across the Midwest, and even though more than half of all of the campers that we serve are from Illinois, it's our nonprofit charitable organization supported by almost 400 volunteers, including our medical professionals who generously donate their time and their services. 1 in 5 of our volunteers, former campers. So
very cool.
Everything gets paid forward here. Again, if you do want to just send whatever you can to have it doubled, it is score.givesmart.com or texting score to 76278. Do you have any on the White Sox? Anything news? Anything? Are they doing anything?
They are a baseball team.
Ah,
they
still?
Play in the American League
You're
Central.
Sure. You're sure?
Last year they signed Liam Hendricks. He was pretty much one of the bigger name free agents. But this year, we're still waiting. Meanwhile, their division rival looks to be agreeing to terms with one Javier Baez.
Yep.
He ain't Carlos Correa, but he's still a huge improvement for the Tigers.
So who's left for Carlos Correa right now? Like if he's looking to get Corey Seager money.
Which he will get.
From?
The 10-year deal, though, man.
Right?
The 10-year deal out of Arlington. That was unexpected. And the Mariners aren't exactly playing around either, by the way.
This is how it's supposed to be. This is where teams who want to get good spend a lot of money on veteran players to try to get good. And maybe there's some nefarious backstory to why the teams are doing this on the eve of the lockout and they're trying to take away part of the narrative. Frankly, at the moment, I'm not going to care. Throw money around for veteran players and let the market operate this way. And if you happen to have it end up with more equitable distribution after a work stoppage, that could be our only hope.
But lockout. You tell me to correct you. It's a lockout.
Correct. Thank you. Lockout, not work stoppage. Lockout.
I keep saying lockout.
It is lockout. It's a lockout.
Who is left for Carlos Correa? That's the big question that I don't know, because we were talking about this before the show started. Rick Camp and I were both like, isn't he automatically just going to go to Detroit? So when they signed Javier Baez, do you think the Mets go after Correa? Is that how expensive would that team be with Max Scherzer?
Doesn't matter.
I know, but it's still cool to talk about.
I just don't. Why won't the White Sox commit to something? This is when you do it. This is exactly the time.
I was irrationally angry that the White Sox didn't get Scherzer.
You should be.
If you really want to contend, and I know that Max Scherzer, there's the thought process that when he signed the contract with the Nationals, that was an overpaid contract based on his age. I'm very aware of how old Max Scherzer is. But for goodness sake, he was still in the Cy Young conversation alongside Lance Lynn. That's how you really put your thumb down and say, we are going to try to win this.
He's better than Dallas Keuchel, and he's better than Carlos Rodon.
That's it. They still need starting pitching.
Yeah, they need two.
I liked the Kendall Graveman move. I did.
I just don't like that money for the variance of a 30-year-old reliever.
But that's what you do if you want to win.
Agreed. It just goes.
It's also what you do if you have a plan for Craig Kimbrell.
Let's see it. Let's see whatever that plan. Let's see it as soon as possible. We're following absolutely all of it and looking forward to a conversation at the top of the hour about quarterbacking with Sage Rosenfels, with everything that is going on there as well. Keeping an eye on every bit of it as we speak. So don't go anywhere. You have the score.
Did I tell you I brought my notebook to California?
Why?
Because there was a game to watch and football was happening.
And?
Well,
what's underlined, what's circled, what has a star next to it?
I missed a lot of the game. Then I had to watch it back because of a power outage because of the Santa Ana winds, which are no joke. Nearly took me off a lane driving the night before.
Wait, the Santa Ana winds blow down all of the power lines?
My favorite minor league baseball team.
The winds?
Yeah, the Santa Ana winds.
That very well could be, except for the idea that they imply destruction and death these days in those parts.
Is that what happens, though? The winds make the power go out?
Well, it's so here we have the luxury of having like built-in infrastructure that doesn't have to mess with that stuff because we winterize stuff. But So there, power lines are up, and a lot of times if there's a spark or something from a downed power line, guess what happens when you have
wildfire.
No humidity and high wind? Yes. So they do a lot of power outages, and that affected my watching of the barn burner of a Lions and Bears game at 9:30 in the morning.
So the power outages are preventative, so they don't get the sparks from the live
Correct.
Wires.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And I didn't know how long it was going to last. I was like, oh, crud, I got to figure this out. And you didn't want to use too much of your cell phone because you have to charge your phone.
Break out the board games. And that's when the Rahimi family starts playing Boggle.
No, we just focused on the stove because that was what we were cooking for Thanksgiving. So the electric oven, yes, which we don't have much of here, by the way. But I had a couple of like helicopter observations because I had the luxury of at least not being here when all of this percolated immediately. And people were like tweeting at me like, don't you think you guys shouldn't have reported it? First of all, a reporter reports something. We are hosts who talk about things. Those are two different jobs. I think is the number one. Like, you didn't break a story. We talk about stories that break. But the most surprising part to me was how much the Bears reacted to the story themselves. And that means that there's some validity to it.
I think I caught totally flat-footed by this. Yes.
But people like did things based on breaking news. Like we talk about hypotheticals and stuff all the time. This was, relatively speaking, not a beat reporter. Yes, an established Pulitzer Prize winner. We know that. On a not typically established site where you find this information out. And I was also left wondering, did they do something differently because they've never fired somebody mid-season based on the fact that this news was broken before the game? Days before, not just before, but you know what I'm trying to say. That question ran through my mind.
In their action and their inaction and the combination therein, they made it clear that then the Bears did at every level that this whole week got away from them. The only thing that worked out was the actual outcome of the game.
And if it is true, which it certainly seems to be, that there were meetings canceled during a short week where you have lost five games in a row, that is a terrible look. The other observation that I had, when you only run the ball seven times in the first half, is we talked about the appearance, and I exaggerated, but it was just the example that came to mind, almost that it seemed like hazing when Justin Fields was in the game against Cleveland. And that was not expected originally. But there was still enough time. There was still enough time to plan something differently. And I thought to myself, as I was watching that game and Andy Dalton sling it all over the field for 300 yards, Matt Nagy didn't haze anybody. He just didn't change a dang thing. That's his offense. And when you want to run it for Andy Dalton because you think your offense is better with a backup quarterback, like on what other team in the NFL does the backup quarterback helming a team only run the ball seven times in the first half?
When you abdicate the responsibility of doing everything you can do to maximize your starting quarterback. That's the most important job you have and you'd rather not.
It was just so reflective of an offense that isn't paying attention to the talent you have on the field. And that was my big takeaway. I'm like, man, this is the Matt Nagy offense and he's going to run it. Talent be damned.
773 says, this has been Layla Rahimi and Bears Copter 7 reporting on this like what it is, a car accident.
Also, shout out to everybody calling it the Santa Ana Wince. But
I didn't see that.
I want to get into it with Sage, too, because to me, that was the biggest observation was like, oh, this is, you just want to run your offense regardless of whether or not it's going to win games. One more thing. Because receipts came to hang out.
And another thing.
Yeah, and another thing. A couple more quick hits before we get to break, because I know we have Sage. Number one, you're better than the current Lions. Two of your four wins are against a winless team. Congratulations.
Yay.
Do you know how the four-game win streak stopped in 2019? With a win over the Lions. Do you know how the six-game losing streak or the four-game losing streak stopped was with a win over the Lions? You know how the six-game losing streak stopped last year? No. You lost to the Lions, but then you beat the next worst team in the NFL, the Texans. Cool. So basically, all of this lead-up is just Lions pregame week.
And that will lead us to our Sage cleanse next on The Score.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.